theme of death is spoken. Just notice. And by heart, it's the whole of you in a way. Do you contract? Do you get sad? Do you want to fall asleep? Move away? Do you get excited? Do you feel relieved? Do you go, oh, let's get on with it. I want to do awakening. Where does your heart go this morning? It's not a definitive place. Hopefully what we can do is open up the territory of love and death. So, and when the Buddha points to death and the reflections on death, he's not saying, look, death is inevitable, therefore everyone, the correct position for everyone would be sadness. He's saying, no, death is part of this life. Explore it deeply, reflect on it daily, let yourself see what it is you're relating to that we're calling the thing that dies, myself. Explore that while you're alive so that this will support the heart to be flexible. This will support the mind to be malleable, to be open, to be available for what is more than just the appearance of death. So he's using it as a reflection to help us wake up. And don't forget, in this reflection today, the Buddha was known as the happy one. He wasn't known as the one who went, oh shit, everything died. Right? He wasn't this sort of existentialist hero who's like, okay, things are tough, but I'm there. Right? That wasn't his position. He was the happy one. Right? Why? Because he opened to conditions, saw their nature, and that let him free up from appearances. And when he's free from appearance, and by appearances, it might sound like jargon, appearances is how things appear, right? How things appear. Things appear, don't they? They show up. Thoughts, feelings, people. Being free of appearances means he can be intimate with them deeply. He's actually freer to love them. He's actually freer to be deeply intimate with them because he understands their place, that it's not a mistake. They die, but it's something to understand deeply. But let's start where we are, see where you are with this theme. Have a breath. We might go into dread or, oh no, I'm going to have to feel grief. And grief's part of it. Understanding doesn't mean we're not human, that we don't have a process of really not wanting our loved ones to go. Of course we don't. Process sometimes of railing against a God we didn't believe in before, or we may have done. Railing against reality. Hey, I don't want this. Yes, that might be part of it. Understanding freedom does not mean we have to prematurely get to the end of the board. And, oh, it's okay, it's all okay with me. That's not what the Buddha did. He knew the place of the human within a much, much bigger framework. Much bigger framework. Okay, so what brings you here today? Just take that. You're not going to be asked to have to say that if you don't want to, but just take a moment to see where this is, theme is personally relevant. Because that's where our juice usually is, right? That it's not an abstract, oh yes, life and death. It's personal. It's personal for all of us. Whether this week, whether it's a daily reflection of ours, whether it's been a while since those themes have come up. But if I were to ask you the question, what brings you here today around this theme? Just see what percolates, what bubbles up. Where is this personally relevant to you? What do you want to know? What do you care about in this theme? And maybe it's not clearly articulated yet to you. Maybe there's a bunch of feelings that arise or a numbness. And I'll pick up that theme a little further. Would anybody like to say, actually, What brings you here around this theme of love is stronger than death? This is a proposal, which I've never seen written in any Buddhist text, I have to confess. It's not particularly the language or the way round the Buddha would have gone about things. He didn't make propositions like that. I am. I'll say how I think he could get there. He, you know, each brilliant teacher, like the Buddha was, will go in his own particular gift, and his gift was not by stating absolutes in that way. But would anybody like to say what brings you here today?
So, coming here was being a regular stepping away from life. Thinking of the feed, kind of a lot of smaller things just drop away and the bigger ones on the surface.
Okay. And is that happening already this morning? And is that happening already in this first 35 minutes, that things get a little sharper for you? Beautiful. So that's one of the gifts of that reflection. It's like we get our priorities a bit in line. Yeah, we have to take care of those details, absolutely, but let me know what's at the top of my heart's list. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Anything else? What brings you here? Anybody? Yeah, Wendy? Relinquished. Beautiful reflection. I take it to heart. I hear it as a teaching on my deathbed. Not that I have to do it perfectly, but what would I have liked to have relinquished a little bit more by then? Pride and arrogance. Thank you. Yeah. And just feel as you hear those, what happens with you. Because enough from me. Over to you. Anybody else? What brings you here? I can't remember your name. Kathy! Like me. That's an end. All right, yeah, we want death of something. Something's to end, yeah. Yeah. Nailing jelly to wall, is that a phrase where you come from? I've never heard that before. Right, and nailing jelly to the wall is impossible, right? I get it. I can feel it. Right. Right, and we will. The grasping, it's a little bit like the death process. We may grasp to want things. So it's like, I don't want this to happen. But can we see, can we hold that with refuge? The one who is railing. Breathe with awareness, sense that one who's contending with reality. Feel her arms and, oh, bless her. Without shaming her or making her, you know, a bad Buddhist for grasping or a bad meditator. Thanks, Kathy. Yes. They've gone to compassion. Yeah. Oh, I bet some individuals haven't. Oh, is that right? How interesting. Beautiful. It's great. Beautiful that exploration's happening. How wonderful. Thank you. Long live the NHS. Anything else? Yes, Mary. All right, you can reflect every morning. Consciously step into that space. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting metaphor also, because home is, in a sense, we could say, and you can argue if you don't agree, but that's kind of what we're seeking in a spiritual path, what's our real home. And the external home can be a place where we try to have that refuge, and that's fine. But what the relationship of true home that we're seeking to the reflection on death, you know, because it seems like death destabilizes that stability of the people, the places, right? It destabilizes us, and home is a place where we know stability. So I'm just introducing those themes of the relationship of stability, death. And home. Thank you for that. Yeah. Give each other blessings for our next piece. Blessings before you go. Thanks, Mary. Anything else before we go into silence, please? Thank you. Yeah, how love might support the relinquishing of attachment. And I think, because we say in spiritual practice, you know, the jargon of letting go is there all the time, or jargon, the language, the teaching. But we can't really, you know, the self that's holding on cannot start to willingly unhold her fingers unless there's something that's speaking to her of that it's okay. It's okay. And love is part of that. Yeah, last question. Yeah, for preparing. I'm glad you're well. And preparing in terms of life affairs or wills, or is that what you're thinking, or spiritually, heart? What will happen when I die? That question. Okay, great. Yeah. When you find out, let me know, or if I get there first. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so it opens that question, doesn't it? Like, oh, it opens the question that also we might want to nail, like jelly, with different religions and science offer different versions of nailing jelly to the wall of the what happens part. And yes, hopefully this, the love, the death, the home, the flexibility can open up that mystery for us so that we can, is that Mary Oliver, is it in that poem? So that when I die, I'll give you that line. Who, do you know it, Jack? She says, this would be good if I could just find it, wouldn't it? What's that poem called? When Death Comes. This could be very nicely choreographed, but it might not be. When Death Comes. It's in this book. But she has a lot. So maybe I'll read this and then we'll do some walking practice and then pick up our theme. She says, when death comes. When death comes like a hungry bear, like the hungry bear in autumn, when death comes and takes all the bright coins from his purse to buy me and snaps the purse shut. When death comes like the measles pox, when death comes like an iceberg between the shoulder blades, I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering, what is it going to be like, that cottage of darkness? And therefore I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And I look upon time as no more than an idea. And I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common as a field daisy, and as singular. And each name a comfortable music in the mouth, tending, as all music does, towards silence. And each body a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say, all my love, I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I have made of my life something particular. And real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering what's it going to be like, that cottage of darkness. So, I mean, you might want something else. But if her invitation resonates at all, that is where the practice can invite us to practice being the bride of curiosity. Not reducing this world to our ideas that we know it already. When you take your step in walking meditation now, Breathe out, let your weight drop into the earth, right here, because we can only know that mystery here and now. Not in a minute. Not yesterday, when I should have done it. Not later, when I'm sick or older, or I've sorted things out. We can only ever know that right now, that timeless Dhamma that the Buddha spoke about. That's refuge. Can we practice that in the walking meditation? Put your feet on the earth, let the weight drop in, and can you be curious? Curious if the mind is dull. Curious if the mind is bright. Curious as your weight drops. Curious if your mind is full of hindrance going, I hate this. Wish I was watching the football. Curious to hear the stories that move through. Curious to settle back into that open, knowing, bright awareness where there's room for all of it. Where no one thing is grasped as the ultimate. But we can start to soften.